Good morning. It's very good to see everyone here today as we come together in God's house to hear God's word. I got a question for you this morning, and I'm going to just be real honest. We're going to be doing a lot of real honest stuff, okay? Where you have to be honest with God and with yourself, because as Christians, that's what we're called to do. Now, imagine if you would. This scenario. We're sitting in church this morning. The message is going on. And we realize that there's somebody at the back door. And of course, being good church people, we do what good church people do. And because somebody's at the back door, we have to turn and look. And it doesn't matter what the pastor's talking on, we still got to turn and look. So we turn and look, and we realize that standing at the back door of the church, or at the entrance to the sanctuary, there's Jesus. And as we look and we see it, Jesus moves forward. And he steps down in front of you, the congregation. And he looks at you, and he says some simple, simple words. He says, come, follow me. And then Jesus begins to exit. Now here's the question this morning. What would you do? Of course you have options. Would you stay in your seat wondering if this was real? Would you get up and follow him and say, I just forsake everything that I need to let go of so that I can follow Jesus? What would you do? What would you do? We're going to be asking that question here in a little bit about a number of things. And as we move forward this summer and this year with what God is about to do, and I don't want to get too far ahead of my notes or I'm going to be in trouble. But I can't help but think, what would you do? Because, folks, this is the truth. In our country, in our state, in our community, in our homes, Jesus is doing exactly what I described. To those who believe, to those who know him as Savior and Lord, he is calling to you and he's saying, come, follow me. And I have a plan for this church. I have a plan for this community. I have a plan for this state. And he's still saying, I have a plan for this country, and it's not all lost. Come. Follow me. What would you do? Now, I'm going to tell you something. It is really easy, because I've been there. It is really easy to sit in the pews, to listen to the message, and to say, boy, if Jesus came in, I'd get up and I'd follow him right now, and I'd go anywhere, I'd do anything, whatever he said, I would follow, I would do it. Because you're safe. But then when it really comes that time to step out, to follow him, we start getting nervous. And we start getting jittery. And what do I do? Jesus called. And he said, go to New Mexico.
What?
Because I had opened my mouth and said, Lord, whatever you call me to do, if you want me to be a pastor, I'll be a pastor. I kind of like that idea. Whatever you call me to do, I will do. Where you call me to go, I will go. And I remember that call. And I remember that day, and I remember Donna and I having that conversation. Because Jesus said, come, follow me. I've got something for you to do. Today, he's calling, folks. And he's saying to you, come follow me. I want to read a passage of scriptures, Matthew 9, beginning with verse 9. It said, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call the For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. I am excited today to be sharing this message with you. Since the beginning of the year, we've been moving toward this point and moving toward this day. And you've heard me talk a great deal about evangelism and the need for us as Christians to be reaching out to the lost. That's to those who don't know Jesus as their personal Savior, to those who are walking in darkness, to those whose life has no meaning to them, to those who don't feel loved. God is calling us to reach out to them. In light of what's been happening in our country, with a total disregard for God's laws, and blatantly defying his precepts, folks, we need to be more diligent to the Great Commission than ever before. And if you remember, some of you may not know what the Great Commission is, but if you do remember the Great Commission, that is Jesus' call to all, and I emphasize that word all, to all believers to come and be his ambassadors here on earth. All of us. And we talk sometimes about spiritual gifts, and people say, I can't be an evangelist. I don't have that spiritual gift. And Jesus doesn't say, only the ones with the gift of evangelism do this. He says, all. That's the Great Commission. That all of us would be outreaching the world, doing what he wants us to do. We're just coming out of Easter season. It's a time when Christ showed us the great extent of his love. Through his resurrection and his ascension, he entrusted to us the call to be his witnesses. And today, this day, I call you, church, to become his witnesses in our community. I'm giving you that challenge. And we're going to be partnering together with the Billy Graham Association to share my hope with this community, my hope with this our friends and relatives, my hope with those who are lost. Let me ask you something. Can God reach five people through this church this year? I'm not going to say yes, but I'll nod my head. Bobbleheads on the car. Okay, let's see how the double chin does that. Anyway, can God reach five people through this church this year? Can he reach 10? Can he reach 20, 30 more? Is there anything God can't do through this church this year to see people come into the kingdom? Of course not. Can God reach? Now we're going to really go abstract. We're going out there today. Can God reach 2 million people in the United States this year through the work of his churches? Yes. Amen. And I believe that. Now listen to this. If God does what God is capable of doing, and we believe that God will do what he's capable of doing, and when God reaches 2 million people in this nation who understand who God is and understand what godly principles are and understand the Word of God, what's going to happen in our country? Folks, that's called revival. That's called what we need. It's called making a difference and change. It's called Christians standing up and being counted. And God is on the move. As we saw in the video, What we are doing has been done elsewhere. Countries that once upon a time we sent people to as missionaries, today they are sending people to us because we are the mission field. How far have we fallen? How far have we fallen? But God is about to make a difference, folks. And I have full confidence in this. There is no doubt. Why can I say that? Because God still believes in this one nation under God that was founded on principles that He had laid out, that was founded on rights and liberties that God approved of. Yes, God can reach 2 million people this year in this country. Our part is this. Our part is our relatives, our neighbors, our co-workers, our friends. And I want to help you with this. As I say, I am calling you today, church, to do something that many of you have never done before. And one thing I noticed when I study the life of Christ, He didn't send people out unprepared. So I want to train you. I want to help you to become Matthews. Remember, we talked in the passage and we saw in there about Matthew. And in the next few months, I want to help you to be able to do this and understand what a Matthew is. And we're going to talk more about that in a little bit. But for now, let's just take a look at Matthew and who he was. Because this story is very much at the hope, or at the heart of my hope. Matthew invited family, friends, neighbors to his house for a meal and to learn about Jesus. And we can do the same thing today to introduce people to Jesus. Now I'm going to ask you again, I love you folks, but I sometimes just feel like I need to ask permission for things. But I'm going to ask you again at this point, don't turn me off. Don't turn me off. Sometimes the pastor gets up front and he starts talking about evangelism and we shut the hearing aids off, okay? And we shut the mind off and, you know, we're going to think of everything but what the pastor's saying. Man, stay with me today. Will you? Will you commit to do that? Don't turn me off because you're afraid you might have to do something that you're not used to. I promise you this. You're not going to be asked to do anything that you're not trained for. They're not going to be asked to do anything that you aren't comfortable with. Well, yes, you are. That's not quite true. Because I do like to move people a little bit out of their comfort zone. But isn't that how God works in our lives? You know, he doesn't want us to stay in this little comfortable box. He wants to stretch us. Well, let's go back to Matthew. You know, we all face barriers in telling people about Jesus. Matthew faced these same barriers, and he had to overcome them. Some Christians fearfully think, well, some people, they're just too sinful for God. Or people are not interested in the gospel of Christ and they're not going to respond. Or I'm not trained to tell people about Jesus. It's too hard for me. I will be criticized by others if people don't respond. I'm going to be embarrassed. The story of Matthew that we just read answers these questions. And he talks about these barriers. Here it is. The first one I talk about, some people are too sinful for God to forgive. Listen, a little bit about Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. There was nothing lower that you could be than a tax collector in the eyes of your community. He was a traitor to his people because he was collecting taxes for Rome. And he betrayed the people by being a tax collector. He cheated the people by collecting too much tax. And that's what the tax collectors would do. Rome requires this, and the tax collector requires this. And that's how the tax collector got paid. And sometimes they would collect more than actually what was required to go to Rome. And it was enforced, and it cheated the people. People did not like tax collectors. I've noticed that hasn't changed. Matthew led a sinful lifestyle. But Jesus comes along, guys. Jesus comes along, and he loved Matthew in spite of his lifestyle. Listen, God loves this world, and he doesn't want anyone to perish in their sins. John 3:16, remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We go into 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but what? That the world through him might be saved. God doesn't want anybody to perish in their sins. And Jesus came to save sinners, is what he says in Matthew 9:13. He says, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Quickly, a young man I knew, his name was Anthony. Anthony, and you've heard me talk about him before, Anthony got locked up. Anthony was a drug dealer. He was in Chicago, and he wasn't the guy. He wasn't the guy that was on the street selling it on the street. He sold it bulk quantities, and he was kind of one of the upper muckety mucks in the drug business there. And he got arrested. He got caught. Anthony was an angry man. He had been involved in several shootings. He never told me the outcome of those shootings, so I'm not going to guess what happened. But he had been involved in several shootings. He had beaten people. He had seen people beaten. He had participated in all of this. He had done everything and anything possible that we would consider as appalling before God. And Anthony was arrested, and he was taken to jail. And Anthony was facing 28 years in jail. And he came to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Now let me tell you something, because you say, oh yeah, jailhouse confession. Anthony was changed. You see, before he came to know Jesus Christ, he was violent. He was mean. He hurt people. When they brought him to the jail, they took and they shackled his hands, they shackled his feet, they put extra chains around him because he was such a violent person. Anything he could do, he would hurt the guards. Anthony came to know Jesus. Anthony got shipped to, I believe it's a federal penitentiary in Michigan. And the last I heard from him, he was starting a Bible study. And he wrote to me and he said, I am surrounded by so much darkness. Pray that I hold on. Listen, God loves everybody. And he knows where you've been, and he knows what you've done, and he knows people you know and what they've done. And he loves them too. And he'll reach out to them if you'll only be his ambassadors. Well, second thing, people are not interested in the gospel of Christ, and they'll not respond to it. Oh, how I disagree. Verse 9 says, and Jesus went on from there. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me. Now listen to that. That's simple. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. Listen, Jesus looked into Matthew's lonely life, and he spoke to him. And the truth is, there are millions of people in the world today who are hungry. They're starving for the peace and the comfort and the understanding that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And there may be some here today, and even inside yourself, it's like people don't realize this, but I'm hurting. I cry before I go to sleep at night. I'm disturbed during the day. I feel all alone. I'm surrounded by a crowd of people, but I'm alone. They don't understand me. And I'll tell you what, if you're here today, I want you to know Jesus loves you, and you've got a family here that wants to love you and wants to show you exactly what Christ can do in your life. And you know somebody else that's in that same boat. Matthew followed Jesus. And he went a step further and invited Jesus to his house to eat. And he also invited the poor people. He invited other tax collectors. He invited sinners. You know, people try to hide their needs so others don't see them. But Jesus sees them. And Jesus sure knows how to help those who are hurting. And if you're here today and you're hurting, some of you hide it so well. And even though you're surrounded by Christians, don't realize the pain that you're actually feeling or the emptiness inside. Maybe it's a numb feeling and you don't understand it yourself. And you think, if someone would just help me, things would be different. Let me tell you, again and again I will say it, God knows and God understands what is going on inside you. And you can't hide from Him. And He wants to help you if you'll only let Him. If this is where you are today, man, talk to me after service. I want to talk with you. Or maybe there's someone here and you feel more comfortable talking to somebody else. That's okay. I just pray that you let God in today. That's my prayer. Listen, how can people respond if we don't ask? Another excuse, probably the most common. I am not trained to tell people about Jesus. It is too hard for me to do. You know what's involved in telling people about Jesus? Do you? It's real easy. It's your story. It's your story. It's your story. It's your story. That's all it is. I once was lost in sin. Jesus came into my life, and He forgave my sins. He filled me with Himself, and I've never been the same since. Boy, that was real hard, huh? It's your story. I just can't talk to people about Jesus. It's just too hard. Is it easy to watch people die and go to hell? Because it was too hard for you to talk to him about Jesus? Verse 10 said, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Matthew used what he had to introduce others to Jesus Christ. He used his home. He used his food. And he used his relationships. He didn't forget his old associates, other tax collectors and sinners, family, friends, and neighbors. He simply shared what he found in Jesus. And folks, that was a powerful, powerful witness for Jesus Christ. Next excuse. We get scared. Remember, we're going to stretch you a little bit. I'll be criticized by others. I will be criticized by others, especially if people do not respond. When the Pharisees saw this, verse 11, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Matthew was so excited about being a follower of Jesus that he had a party and he invited everyone. and especially those who needed Jesus. Was Matthew criticized? Yes, he was criticized. But there were great results. Can you imagine sitting down to dinner with Jesus? Now he kind of made it easy because I'm sure he led the conversation. But at the same time, I think Matthew was there. And I'm pretty sure Matthew was there. It was his house. And I believe Matthew said, "Listen to Jesus, because my life was a mess. And in a short time, Jesus changed my life. And now my life is full. Listen to him." Jesus was the focus of the meeting. Sinners confessed their sins and received forgiveness from Jesus. New believers met other followers of Jesus and were established in their new faith. Matthew himself grew spiritually. And guess what, folks? The critics were silenced. You can do this. I'll tell you what, say, "I can do this." You don't know what this is yet, maybe, but say, "I can do this." All right, I believe you. And you don't have to be a great pastor or a teacher. All you do is use Matthew's and friends' plan to get people to come. Invite people to your home or to a meeting place. Give them refreshments. Watch the program that's going to be on television together, and then tell your testimony in 3 minutes. Tell your testimony in 3 minutes. I can't do that. Now, you know I have a tendency to be just a little bit long-winded. Just a little. Eric. I look at Eric and he's down there. You just tell them your testimony, what God's done in your life, and then you invite them to accept Jesus Christ. We're going to start training for this. And Matthew training begins on April 18th. It's going to be at 6:30 here at the church. Folks, plan on attending. Let me or Talisa know if you can be there so that we have enough materials on hand for you. And if you're not sure about this and you want to check it out further, maybe you don't know if you want to be a Matthew or not, but you'd sure like to know more about it, then come to the training and we'll be able to answer more questions for you. Because this is the time. This is the year. This is the hope that we have to change our community and to see the world changed as people in America come to Christ. And I am so excited about what God is going to do through this campaign in our church and in our community and in this nation. Folks, it's not too late for America. But we must realize that any nation, now listen to me closely, and those of you who are history buffs and those of you who have studied these things and understand things about other countries and other nations, listen to me. Any nation that has ever turned its back on God, any nation that has ever known who God is and turned and gone a different direction, that nation has been destroyed. That nation has fallen. The people have fallen into poverty and distress. Politics are corrupt. And there are corrupt politicians. Any nation that says, "I am going to take the Ten Commandments off the lawn of a courthouse." Any nation that comes together and says, "We are going to institute marriage in a way that is different from anything God wants it to be." Any nation that comes together and says, "We're going to ignore the laws and the precepts of a loving, kind God who has provided and taken care of us," and they ignore it, they fall. They fall. Folks, we have places that are looking at us and saying, "We'd love to launch a missile right in the heart of that country." Let me tell you something. That happens, you're going to see people on their knees. I hope we don't have to go that far for people to realize that we need God in our nation. Any country that is established the way the United States of America has been established, with a firm constitution that stood for solid principles, and begins to strip that away and begins to take rights away from the constitution and say we're going to ignore what it says, that country's going to fall. But it's not too late. It's not too late. It begins with a little church. Actually, it begins with thousands of little churches all across this country saying, we will stand up and we will make a difference and we will do what God's called us to do. We will become Matthews and we'll learn how to do this type of evangelism and we'll learn how to reach our neighbors and families and friends and co-workers. I do believe that God is still blessing America. But folks, I just don't know how much longer He will approve our rejection of Him. I don't know. I don't like to do, and you guys know that, I don't like to do political sermons. And this really isn't a political sermon. This is a call to revival. This is a call to salvation. Scripture says this in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and listen to this, and will heal their land. Folks, America needs healing. And that comes from an America with a repentant heart that can say to God, God, we're sorry. It comes from Christians living in this country that have hidden in a box and hidden in a shell, and they come and they gather on Sunday morning, but the rest of the week they're shy and timid, and they're not out there boldly embracing all people in the name of Jesus Christ and saying, come. This morning, it begins with us. Today, the call is that we commit to making a difference in this community this year. Today is a day of salvation. Won't you be a part of it? Rob, can I get you to hand these out? I'm going to hand you out some pamphlets. And yes, I'm going to go a little bit long this morning. I hope the enchiladas don't burn because they're really good. And I want us to take a look at these, because this is kind of our first step. By the way, go ahead and take one. You're not committing to anything. We're not going to come and knock on your door because you took a brochure. It's all right. I want us to just take a quick look at this pamphlet, and if you'll open it up to kind of the middle and fold the two wings back, and you have this looking like this in the middle. Can you open it to that? Here's how simple this is going to work this year. And this isn't the lesson. I'm not teaching you everything you need to know, but here's what it looks like. I want us to look down, and it says, you will get all of the training you need. You see that part on there where it says it? It's right down here. You will get all of the training you need to do this. One is to look around. And what I want you to do in your mind, what I want you to do today, is I want you to begin to think, and I want you to look around in your world. Look around in your realm of influence. Look around in the people that you know. And I want you to think of people that need Jesus Christ that you have a relationship with. I want you to think of people that you are willing this year to pour your heart into through prayer and commitment to see them come to Jesus Christ. How about it? Are you thinking of some names? Are you thinking of some names? On the back flap, right here, there's a place to write some names. And I'm going to ask you right now, I want you to write down at least two names. At least two names of people you know who need Jesus Christ in their life, and you're saying, I'm going to do what I can do to reach them this year. And if that means I become a Matthew, I become a Matthew. If it means I do it however I need to, I'm going to help them, and I'm going to walk with them, and we're going to guide them. Right here, if you would, two names. That's all I'm asking to write. By the way, nobody's going to collect these. We're not going to take them from you. And we're not going to take the names and post them up on the wall over here where everybody can see them. Two names. You know what? All of us know at least two people who need Jesus Christ. The hope is that as the year progresses and the year goes on, you'll add to the list. So you look around and you think, who is it that I know that needs Jesus Christ? Second thing you do, here's what we're going to talk about, is looking up. And pray every day for each person that you have listed right here. Can you do that? Can you just every day commit to praying for these people whose names you have? Is that hard? Is that too uncomfortable for anyone? I don't think so. You're going to pray, God, I'd ask that you'd remember my friend. Lord, open the door so that I can share what you've done in my life. God, make a difference in their life. Prepare their heart to hear what you have for them. It's that simple. Can you pray for your friends? Sure you can. Look up. And look out. Look out for opportunities to build your relationship with these people. To do what? To build relationships with these people. How can I connect with them? What do I have in common with them? What is our meeting point? Is this somebody that I see every week at the grocery store? And we just keep bumping into each other. And we kind of got a loose friendship. And it's like, you know, hi, how you doing? Hi, how you doing? The hams are good this week. Whoever it is, you look for that opportunity. How can I connect with them each week? Maybe it's just giving that friend a call and saying, hey, I was thinking about you today. It's real simple. And then look forward. Folks, look forward. And I am excited because we look forward at what God is about to do. Because I believe that God is about to make a difference in this world and in this community and in this church and in this nation. And look forward to November in this presentation. And we'll learn more about the presentation and what's going to happen. Look forward to what God's going to do in the lives of those whose names you've written down. And then finally, look after those who give their lives to Jesus Christ. And then you help them grow in the faith. Listen, many of you don't know how to do that right now. You really don't. But we're going to teach you. We're going to train you. Don't forget, we're in this together. Working together. And you can read the rest of the folder, take it home with you. You know, take this list and oops, I tore it crooked. Take and tear this off. With those names and put it up wherever you're going to see it every day. Maybe it's on your refrigerator. Maybe you don't want it on your refrigerator because you don't want your friends to come in and see their name there and say, what's my name on that for? But put it somewhere that you're going to know to look at it. Put it somewhere where you remember that you've been called to make a difference. Folks, will you commit to this outreach event and this evangelism opportunity this year? Would you say yes if you're willing to commit? Yes. Thank you. Just one?
Yes.
Yes.
Whew, I was getting nervous. Today, we start to make a difference. And I just wonder who would be willing to stand with me in this full-blown effort to reach the non-Christians in our community. One other key thing is that's needed for this to be successful. We need people who believe in and are committed to prayer. I would love to have a lead person who would say, Pastor, and I'm not talking about blasting these prayer requests all over the internet. I'm talking about this is some of them get pretty personal. A lead person who would say, I would be willing to get together or put together a group of believers that we could come together once a week and pray for those who we have requests for. This is private. This is personal. Somebody that would say, I will lead this. And then somebody that would say, yes, I'll be a prayer warrior. I'll go to battle for Christ through prayer. Again, if you can do this, talk to me. Folks, this is of God. And how do I know that this is of God? It's real simple. Because it is so much larger and greater than we are. We can't do this. But through Christ, all things are possible. I love you folks. Together, let's work. And I'm going to ask you this morning, and I'm not trying to put anyone on the spot, but I just believe in certain things. And this morning, if you're willing to commit to this, if you're willing to be a part of this in the coming year, I want you to come forward, and we're going to just make a circle, and we're going to hold hands, we're going to pray together today. Just saying, as a church, as believers, we're going to move forward with this. I'm not wanting to embarrass anybody, and certainly if you don't feel like coming forward, I'm not going to twist anybody's arm. But for those who are here, and I heard a bunch of yays a minute ago, will you come stand with me? Yes, we're going to do this. Yes, we're willing to be a part of it. Yes, we want to make a difference. We're willing to be trained. We're willing to get what we need. Won't you come? Just form a circle here. We don't have to circle on around. Folks, in this, we're saying we will be a part of building hope into this community through Jesus Christ. It's a big job. Those of you who are seated, I'm going to ask that as we pray, you would pray too, and that you'd be praying for those who are up here. And that you would support them, as we also want to support you. Go in hands. Heavenly Father, we stand before a great witness. Because, Father, now we stand before you and your angels. And Father, you are witness to this day, to a day where we as a body of believers have come together to commit ourselves to your service. Father, today we come believing in the lives that can be changed through you. We come believing, Father, that there is hope for this nation. That there is hope for this church, there is hope for this community, there's hope for our friends and those that we have an influence with. And Father, the hope is not in us, the hope is in you. Because Father, this is what you've called us to do. And we will go to all nations, we will go to the ends of the earth, we will go right next door, Father, if that's what you require, that we would be your ambassadors and your witnesses. Father, I pray that we as a church would stay focused on this. And Father, I ask now that you would touch the hearts of each person here. Let them at this very moment feel the Holy Spirit moving in their life. And realize that from this day forward, we can't be the same. We must make a difference because you've called us. I pray, Father, that these Matthews would get the training and would follow through with the commitment of this day. I thank you for the leadership in the church that stands up here. And Father, if the leaders don't lead, who will follow? Father, I thank you for all that you do. Pray your blessings on this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Sherry, I thought you were going to bring him to me.